Case number 22-5100, Navajo Nation Appellant versus United States Department of the Interior and Deborah A. Helen in her official capacity as Secretary, United States Department of the Interior. Mr. Gordon for the appellant, Mr. Koppel for the appellees.
Mr. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, and may it please the court. Under the Indian Self-Determination Act, federal agencies transfer to tribes responsibility and the funding for providing designated programs to tribal members. Almost all of these programs or services are permanent in nature and require ongoing, dependable funding. 1988, Congress amended the Act for the avowed purpose of preventing federal agencies from unilaterally reducing the established amount of annual funding. Congress provided that the amount of funds provided under a self-determination contract shall not be reduced in subsequent years, except in five circumstances, none of which is applicable here.
Can you start with kind of explaining how a contract renewal proposal works, and specifically, does a tribe submit a renewal proposal and the first annual funding agreement for that proposal at the same time in one package?
Yes, Your Honor.
So,
and that's what happened in 2017 here.
And are they approved together at the same
time? Yes, Your Honor. And in fact, and I think this will make things clear, the annual funding agreement, or AFA as it's frequently called, is the key part of the contract that sets forth the scope of the services being provided and the amount of funding that's going to be provided. The rest of the contract are the standard contract term provisions.
Is the annual funding agreement a successor annual funding agreement in that situation?
Right. We've taken the position, Your Honor, that a successor annual funding agreement is under the existing contract and so is governed by the regulation at 900.32. And that is why there's a separate regulation at 900.33 that deals with renewal contracts and has the exact same effect.
So let me ask a step back from the text and kind of ask a more pragmatic question. I think on 933, you're strong. At the same time, I wonder, imagine that what had happened with the 2014 original annual funding agreement had been that instead of going from $1 million to $15 million, which was $17 million, just
A large increase.
It's about 13 times more than the government says they think you deserve. Imagine that it had gone from $1 million to $1 billion. Would you be making all the same arguments? Would we have to do all the same things that you say we have to do here?
The law would be the same. But Congress provided
$1 trillion?
But Your Honor, if I may, Congress provided the solution when it amended the statute in 1988. When it created 5325B, it provided that one way that an agency could reduce the funding was if they go back to Congress and get permission in the next appropriation bill, in the language of the appropriations. That comes up, appropriations, as Congress well knows, come up every year.
Well, so under that theory, all they have to do is get Congress to do what Congress hardly ever does.
Well, if it's truly a windfall, as the government argues, then Congress would do it, I submit. Certainly, if it was a billion or a trillion.
I recognize this is pretty far afield from the text of the regs, and I'm pretty with you on the text of the regs. But what political incentive would Congress have in this situation to take $15 million extra dollars away from the Navajo tribe.
From the Navajo Nation after the district court in 2020 found that they had a legitimate need for all of those funds. I don't think there's any political will to do that, Your Honor.
So,
and I'm standing here saying that my client, the Navajo Nation, deserves every penny of those funds because the funding level prior to 2014 was covering only about 10% of the actual cost of running the courts, but the Navajo Nation supports this.
Let's imagine the government is right that you deserve $1.2 million or $1.5 million because of the kind of clerical error that happened during the government shutdown. You're getting $17 million a year. That's $17 million, or it's $15 million extra per year.
It's $15.7 million, Your Honor. I've lived with these numbers for a long time. I argued this case in 2016 before.
$15.6 million. And there is a part of the statute that says, maybe it's a brag as well, that if the appropriations are not there, then I guess there would be an across-the-board cut.
That's correct, Your Honor.
So the people who would kind of pay the cost, be hurt by the windfall, if it's a windfall, would be all of the other tribes whose budgets would be cut in order to pay for the 13 times more funding that you're receiving compared to what the agency says you're entitled to.
And if it was a windfall and unfair, then those tribes might complain and create more political will. Go back to your question. But no other tribe, my knowledge, has complained about the Navajo Nation getting adequate funding for its court system.
They would probably complain if it were a billion.
They might, Your Honor. But if it were a billion, I think this case wouldn't be here.
Helpful.
Unless the court has further questions, I'll submit and reserve any time.
All right. Thank you. Mr. Koppel.
May it please the court. I'm with the Department of Justice representing the Department of the Interior and the Secretary of the Interior in this case involving the Indian Self-Determination and Education Assistance Act, known as ISDA. The district court correctly held that neither the ISDA statute nor the regulations entitle the tribe to a permanent additional award of approximately $15.7 million each year in perpetuity, merely because the secretary did not decline the proposal within 90 days.
I'm not sure it's merely because of the clerical mistake. It's a combination of the clerical mistake and the reg 933, where you have deliberately tied your hands and assume something you probably don't want me to assume, but assume that they're right about how we should read 933. Why would you all have done that to yourselves?
Well, it may well be that the regulation is not optimal from the government's standpoint, but the regulations were enacted participation and involvement of the tribes and this was the agreed upon language. And this is one of the problems here in terms of the agency trying to correct the regulatory problem on its own, because under the statute, it has to confer with the tribe, and they have to have involved participation.
Well, so I understand the policy behind requiring the agency to confer. That seems appropriate. I think there was something in the briefing that the the advisory committee that negotiated this had a 60-something people on it, 40-something were representatives of the tribes. It seems like your answer to my question is the agency got into this mess because the regulator more or less abdicated its regulatory responsibilities to the regulated party. Not surprising that the regulated party drafted a regulation that's pretty good for them.
Your Honor, it's obviously the regulatory process is collaborative, but I certainly would. Well, first of all, I as you indicated, I disagree with respect to the interpretation of 900.33, and we believe that that the focus of the original Navajo Nation opinion was solely on the deemed approval regulation in Navajo 1, and while the district court held, and we don't agree that applied with respect to all subsequent annual funding agreements under the initial contract, we do not believe that 900.33 stands for the proposition that it applies to a successor contract.
I understand the argument, and maybe you're right. Maybe you're right about how we should read the reg. If you're wrong, if we rule against you in this case, does that mean that the tribe is just going to get $15.6 million extra dollars every year forever? Or is there a way that you all will fix that?
Well, the only apparent solutions would be either a regulatory change, and then the tribes really, they have no incentive to agree to such a change, or congressional action, which, as Your Honor pointed out, seems is right. Very, very difficult.
Why would, it sounds like now you're saying that tribes have a veto on a regulatory change. Why is that?
Well, it's not a veto, but it is given the language of it's, I believe it's 5328 D. It does emphasize that the secretary has to confer and the tribes are to have involved participation in the process. So it doesn't provide a veto per se, but it certainly suggests that the tribes have a significant voice in the formulation of the regulations. So this is basically an insoluble conundrum unless the district court is correct, as we believe, that it doesn't extend to a successor contract.
It's insoluble, again, if your version of conferring with the tribes is the right version. But, I mean, I confer with my clerks on every case. I don't let them decide the case.
I understand, Your Honor, and we don't think that the secretary should have to go there, because we believe that both the statute and the regulations, or the regulations concerning the contract, which is the only one applicable here, renewal contract, are clear that the relevant amount for purposes of the next contract would be the initial amount, with the initial secretarial amount, which was adopted in this case in 2012 in the earlier contract, and then sort of that doesn't the subsequent problem that started in calendar year 2014 and continued through the end of the first contract no longer comes into play, because the relevant annual funding agreement is the one that was part of the original of the 2012 contract, and that was what was renewed in 2017.
Both the district court and this court are normally bound by the Indian canon. In this case, it may be even stronger since that canon was codified in the governing regulation here. Is the district court's decision consistent with that canon?
That, Your Honor, we believe it is, because we agree with the district court that the only sensible reading is the one that of both the statute and the regulations is the one that respects the role of the secretarial amount, which is the crucial figure for purposes of the funding.
The tribe would say that the secretarial amount is the amount that was approved in previous year's agreements, and you would say that it goes all the way back to the original.
With respect to the contract, yes.
Okay.
That's right. The annual funding amount is clearly tied to the secretarial amount, which is the amount that the secretary would have expended on the program. And the fact that changed because the secretary made the mistake, the annual funding agreement was increased in 2014 because of the secretary's failure to
disapprove during the statutory timeline.
Excuse me, Your Honor?
Failed to disapprove during the statutory timeline. The secretary had a 90-day window to disapprove and didn't do it.
And, well, that was this court's decision in Navajo Nation 1, but we believe that really should be cabined to the original contract and should not be continued in perpetuity. There are no further questions. I would urge the court to affirm the judgment of the district court.
All right. Thank you. Does Mr. Gordon have any time?
Counsel, I have 3 minutes and 30 seconds left.
I just want to make the point that the tribe here wins not only because of 933, but that 933 says what it does because the statute requires it. Both 5325B, which precludes the agency from reducing funding, and also 5321A, which says explicitly that when you are closing a new contract or a renewal contract, the secretary must agree to that contract unless the funding exceeds the amount of funding that's established under 5325A, secretarial amount and contract support costs. And we absolutely are of the view that that secretarial amount as of 2017 was $17 million. And indeed, the agency's own regulations provide that if you have a deemed approved contract, as this court held in 2014, those funds shall be added to the secretarial amount under 5325A.
If we disagree with you about your argument that the statute requires this additional amount, or put another way, the statute requires the agency to approve the 2017 annual funding agreement, you still win if 933 requires the agency to approve the 2017.
That's correct, Your Honor.
Right?
That's correct. But I want to emphasize that we don't think that the secretary just sort of fell down on the job when 933 was promulgated. We think that that regulation says what it says because that's what the statute requires.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.